Radio Maria now presents The Will of God with Father Robert Young, a program in which Father Robert takes a look at the writings of Luisa Picaretta. And now, here's Father Robert Young with The Will of God.
And good morning, dear friends, and welcome to all of you today as we continue with our study of Luisa Picaretta's major work called The Book of Heaven, or simply her diary. 36 volumes. We are now at volume 19, have just begun it last week, and we will continue with it today. But first, as always, let us pray in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a prayer of St. Bonaventure, the conclusion of his reflection on the Holy Eucharist. So it's really a prayer to the Holy, to Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. And I have changed it to make it a prayer also to the will of God, which is, of course, in the Eucharist and the source of the Eucharist. May the divine will be ever my hope, my whole confidence, my riches, my delight, my pleasure, and my joy. May it be my rest, my peace, my sweetness, and my delight. May it be my spiritual enjoyment, my food and refreshment. May the divine will be my refuge, my reward, my possession, and my treasure, in whom my mind and my heart may ever remain fixed and firm, both now and forever. Amen. Well, once again, Eternal Father, we want to implore your mercy upon the world, the mercy that has given us this greatest gift, this greatest miracle of your divine will coming to reign again on earth as it reigns in heaven and as it reigned on earth at the beginning of creation, restored now by Jesus through redemption and made fully known to us today, making it possible for this great gift to bear fruit of the tree of life for the world once again, through the Holy Spirit. So, Spirit of sanctification, third fiat of God, fiat, eternal fiat of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, reign in us, reign in our families, reign in our homes, in our churches, in our communities, in our nation, in our world. Come, divine will, think in our thoughts, listen in our listening, speak in our speaking, beat in our heartbeats, and breathe in our breathing, circulate in our memories, intellects, and wills, and in our blood. May every thought, word, and deed of our lives here on earth, from now until the day we die, be for the glory of God and the coming reign of that kingdom of his will, now and forever. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, help us to live every moment in the Divine Will and to know what it means to live in that kingdom here on earth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we continue now with volume 19. This is our second program on this volume. And the passage we pick up with today is dated March 2nd, 1926. Remember, these are entries in Luisa's diary, her journal, that she wrote very often, not every day, as we see here. It's been actually just a few days since February 28th that she wrote something. She only writes when she has something to write, which means her obedience is to record what transpires in her communications from and with Jesus. So she is obliged under holy obedience to the church for 40 years to do this. And she is not the most happy secretary of the divine will always. It's a struggle for her, as we often hear, to do this because it involves her own self. And she wants to leave herself out. But Jesus says, of course, She can't do that because she's the one in whom the gift has been given. So as the program says, this program is about the life and the writings of Louisa, because her life is very essential to our understanding the divine will. It's like, how would we know who Jesus is without knowing his life? How would we know who our Blessed Mother is without knowing her life, or any of the saints for that matter? So to know the divine will, we need to know who Louisa is. And this beautiful, holy, very sensitive and fragile woman, uneducated and yet brilliant, you know, with a great memory, with a great intellect, and a very strong will, you know, to be able to respond to this gift as she has, it helps us to know Louisa. So this is her diary. It's her journal that's ongoing for 40 years. We're now at the year 1926. The title says, Silence on That Which Regards the Truths of the Divine Will Forms the Tomb of These Truths While the Word Forms the Resurrection. And then the glory be of the soul in the divine will. Louisa writes, I felt oppressed and with such reluctance to open my soul to manifest what my blessed Jesus tells me, that I would rather have remained silent forever, as I just said, so that nothing would be known anymore. I lamented to my sweet Jesus, saying to him, Oh, if you told me not to say anything to anyone ever again, of what passes between you and me, from what an enormous weight you would free me. Oh, how happy I would be. Don't you see my great repugnance and the effort I have to make, you know, to do this, to write, to record these things? But while I was saying this, my always lovable Jesus, moving in my interior, said to me, My daughter, would you want to bury the light, the grace, the truth, and so prepare the tomb for your Jesus? Silence on anything which is truth forms the burial of the truth, while the word forms the resurrection of the truth. It makes the light and grace and good rise again. More so, since the word on the truth comes from the supreme fiat. That is the eternal fiat of the Most Holy Trinity. The Word had its divine field when in creation, with the word fiat, the let it be, I issued the whole creation. I could have created it remaining silent also. But I wanted to use the word fiat so that the word too might have a divine origin. See, that word fiat comes from the Word of God. It is a Word of God. It's in Genesis. It's in the Scriptures. Let there be light. Let there be the earth. Let there be the heavens. Fiat, let it be. See, that is the first word God spoke. And in a sense, the only word God has ever spoken. Let it be and let there be. And since it would contain the creative power, whoever would use it to manifest what belongs to me might also have the power to communicate those truths to whomever would have the good fortune to listen to him. See, what is the Word of God? It's God's Word to us that we simply have come to know and received and then communicated to others. If we only received it and stopped sharing that word, it wouldn't go anywhere. St. Paul says, you know, if there's nobody to proclaim the word, how can anybody else hear it? So the word of God is given to be proclaimed, to be shared, you know, to announce, to proclaim this coming of his kingdom. That was the whole mission. That third luminous mystery is the proclamation of the kingdom. So he says, the reason I gave this word and I let you know what this word is, so that whoever would use it could make known what belongs to me and have my power to communicate those truths to whoever would be willing to listen. You see, the power is in his word. It is in his fiat. Yes, he wants and needs our fiat to cooperate and collaborate with His. But first of all, we have to know His fiat. We have to hear His word. For you, then, there is a stronger reason. In fact, since the greater part of everything I tell you are things which regard my supreme will, it's not only the original word, but the fiat itself, which entering the field again as in creation, wants to make known the immense good that my will contains. See, it's not only the first word spoken, but he says it is not only the word, it's the reality of God's will reigning that, as he says, entering again into this field of creation, once more being known, once more being received and loved and possessed, wants to make known to others the goods that God's will contains. It's never, ever, dear friends, only for one or for us or for even the church. It's always for the all. Not all, of course, are going to receive and accept it, but it's always meant on God's part for everyone. And it communicates so much power to everything I manifest about it as to be enough to form the new creation of my will within souls. This new creation, what is the new creation? We hear of it in St. Paul, especially in the book of Revelation. What is the new creation? It's the reign of God's will on earth as it was at the beginning of creation. It's new because it was lost, but it's old because it was there at the beginning. You see, and so the new creation is simply the return, in one sense, although it's gone beyond it, but in some sense it's a return to the original grace, the original gift of the reigning of God's will in the soul of Adam and Eve at the beginning. So he says, is this the love you have for me, that with your silence you want to form the tomb for my will? You see, silence buries the word. Silence, dear friends, on our part, when we have the occasion, the opportunity to speak the truth, to make it known, no matter what it is, whether it's about God's divine will as we've come to know it, or whether it's simply about the truths of our faith, you know, especially the moral truths of our faith that need to be known so much today and have been buried by the society we live in, and even by some in the church, unfortunately. So God needs the voice of His children. He needs the voice of the disciples of Jesus to speak this word, especially this word fiat, this let it be, because it is the original word of God. And if we don't make it known, you know, and those of us who are given in a special way the mission or the ministry, as those of us who are ordained or who have been called to this mission, whether ordained or not, we have an obligation, we have a responsibility to do this. This is something in the church that God wants to spread. He wants it to be known as it is, as we know today more and more. So Louisa then goes on and says, I was so frightened and even more afflicted than before, and I prayed to Jesus, give me the grace to fulfill His most holy will. You see, it's a grace. You know, Louisa was a very timid and shy soul. And yet, look how God used her in spite of that kind of timidity she had, that sense of being just a nothing, you know. She was so lowly and so little and so humble. And yet, so He had to help her go beyond herself, as we all do, you know, to trust in Him. The divine will is my confidence, not myself. I don't put confidence in myself. If I did, I wouldn't be here today. I put confidence in the will of God to speak through what I say to your heart and to your soul, to your intellect and your memory and will, so that the divine will can respond in you, can receive it and return it to God. But without the divine will, none of this is possible. It never would be. We don't trust ourselves. We put our confidence, our trust in God. And so, beloved Jesus, as though wanting to cheer me up, came out from within my interior, squeezing me tightly to His most holy heart. infused ever new strength in me. See, it's that touch of Jesus, that touch that, you know, healed the leper we heard this week, that heals so many even today through the sacraments, through, you know, the prayers of healing, through intercessory prayer. You know, this prayer, you know, when we ask Jesus, give us the grace I need, dear Lord, so that my little intellect can be broadened, can be expanded, and be big enough to hold all this wonderful truth, you know, and infuse in me the knowledge I need. You know, knowledge, yes, it comes from the writings, but it's not just looking at words, of course. It's what the words signify. It's the mystery behind the words. See, sometimes we can get caught in a formula. We can get caught, even in the sacraments, unfortunately, in the signs themselves. What is a sacrament? It's a sign. It's a sign of a mystery, of a reality that is not visible. It's a visible sign of the invisible. Well, the words and the word are also that. The words that we read are signs of an invisible reality, of a spiritual truth. And what God wants is for us to allow the words, then, as we receive them, to also bring with them into our intellect, as we hopefully do when we read scripture or any writings that inspire us to live a better life, to receive the grace for those words to be absorbed, to come in, to penetrate, first of all, our hard hearts, you know? And it says that the Pharisees, the elders of Israel, could not, I believe Mark says, the elders could not receive the baptism of John because their hearts were hardened. This is the baptism of fire of God's word that he wants to penetrate us. Our hearts have got to be soft, dear friends, and they have to be cleaned. They have to be purified. They have to be refined by that refiner's fire. And so we have to allow ourselves, through whatever means we can find in the church, anywhere, to be open, to be docile to this word of God, to the work of God that he wants to operate in us. So Jesus responds to Louisa's prayer as he will respond to yours. Give me grace, give me strength, O Lord. Give me courage. Give me the courage of the martyrs. Give me the boldness of the apostles to go forth, to proclaim, to make known the gift you've given to me. It is not to be buried. It's to be brought to the world. And that's why it's so wonderful that we have a radio program to do that always. You know, Radio Maria has been called the instrument. It was actually created, founded to be the instrument of the new evangelization. The same year St. John Paul II proclaimed it from the steps of St. Peter's, the founders of Radio Maria said, we want to help our Holy Father in this mission to bring a new evangelization, not a new gospel, but a new way for the gospel to be known, for a new way for the gospel to spread, to be shared throughout the world. So Radio Maria was founded for that reason. And therefore, it's a wonderful, I think, as I often say, a wonderful symbol or metaphor for the way that the divine will goes out. See, and isn't it so amazing to me that in the very age in which Louisa was living, electricity came to be, the telephone, television was on the way. All of these things, you know, today we have the computer, they didn't have it then, but it's all a development of the same technology. All this God has provided in the very era in which God has given us the divine will teaching. And as Pope Francis has said in several talks, he says, this is not about a change of era. It is about an era of change. This is the era we are living in, dear friends, is the era of the greatest change, I believe, in the history of the church. And so what we have is a way to come to live what Bishop Michele Secca, the Bishop of Teramo Atri in Italy, calls the great mercy of God. He says that this is the greatest proclamation of God's mercy. The living in Jesus' divine will is the greatest proclamation of mercy one can ever know, one can ever receive, you see. And so this is a participation, he says, in the divine life of Jesus, which he gave us by redemption, in which it is most fully accomplished. It is the greatest communion we can have with God. This is a bishop. He's actually a native of Louisa's diocese, now bishop of another diocese in Italy. He gave a wonderful talk at our conference last April in Corrado. And he says, this is what Louisa brings to the world. Louisa was a missionary of divinization. Louisa was an apostle of God's will coming to reign on earth today in the greatest way the world has ever known and the church has ever known. Not a new reign, it's the same reign Jesus proclaimed, but it's being known, being made more explicit, more available to us than it's ever been before. That's what we celebrate. Louisa was in that way a missionary of mercy, a missionary as Pope Francis is calling some of us to be, and I will be in this year of mercy, a missionary of mercy. Thanks be to God. We have this opportunity, dear friends, to come to know, love, and possess this reign of God's will, which is the greatest expression of his mercy we have known. Certainly, it is all in Jesus. Jesus is that mercy. Jesus is that kingdom. But Jesus has to be known. Jesus has to be revealed more and more explicitly, and what the Word of God means and what it is for us today. All of that is ongoing. You see, it doesn't finish. As Pope St. John Paul II used to say a lot, the Holy Spirit is not finished speaking. The Holy Spirit is always speaking, both to us individuals and to the church. So at that moment, when Jesus infuses this new strength into Louisa, he gives her this wonderful audio vision in which she says, at that moment, the heavens opened, and I heard everyone say together in chorus, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. She says, I don't know how, but it was my turn to answer, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. But who could say what was happening? In the word Father, one could see the creative power flowing everywhere, preserving everything, giving life to everything. The mere breath of this word was enough to maintain everything he had created intact, beautiful, and ever new. In the word Son, one could see all the works of the word. All the works that Jesus did, all of his acts, you know, thoughts, words, and deeds here on earth, to give themselves, renewed and ordered in the act of filling heaven and earth, to give themselves for the good of the creatures. In the word Holy Spirit, one could see all things being invested with a speaking, operating, and life-giving, vivifying love. But who can say everything? It's a very, very beautiful understanding of the glory be. Jesus has said elsewhere that the glory be is the most simple and perfect prayer in the divine will. And it's so easy to say it, dear friends, to say it often. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. What he's saying, what Jesus is showing that we see here, that in those three words, the names of the three persons of the Trinity are contained, the mystery, the reality of each of the three fiats. So in the word Father is the fiat of creation. It contains everything that's ever been created, will ever be. The word Son, all of the works of Christ, all of the works of Mary, all of the works of redemption that Jesus carried out here on earth, and that are continued to be carried out by the church. In the word Holy Spirit, It's contained all of the works of sanctification, of bringing to completion and fulfillment that work of creation by the Father, the work of redemption by the Son, so that it can be returned perfectly to the Father. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's the fiat we're living, that we're trying to learn more and more about so we can live it better, more fully. So you see, in all of these three words, the simple words, the names that God has given us himself for who he is in relationship with us and with among themselves, the three persons, himself in three persons, God gives us a way in the glory be, that simple prayer of the church. So simple to, in one sense, capture all of the works of God, the three fiats, creation, redemption, sanctification, and one little prayer in which the divine will, which is the source of all of those three works of God, or opera of God, the correct Latin word, opera, is simply the way in which God operates. So God has given us in that little prayer a beautiful way to sum it all up. So many times people say to me, Father, what do I say? What do I do? I say, well, say the glory be. Say the glory be. You see? And the beautiful thing, as Jesus will now explain to Louisa, is that the response to it is our part in uniting here on earth what we do and our praise and our thanksgiving, love, and adoration, glorifying God on behalf of all of creation together with us. See? So this is what Louisa is learning here by this little prayer. And of course, then she has to record it as well. So Louise says, I felt my whole, my poor mind was so immersed in the eternal Beatitudes, and my adorable Jesus, wanting to call me back into myself, said to me, my daughter, do you know why it was your turn to say the second part of the glory be? Since my will is in you, it befitted you, was, you know, appropriate for you to bring the earth up to heaven in order to give in the name of all, together with the celestial court, angels and saints, that glory which will never end, world without end. See, what we're doing in the glory being in every act of the divine will is uniting heaven and earth by the one common link and bond of everything which is the will of God. Because in the it's the will of God that's glorifying God in us. And so by you know, praising and glorifying all three persons, all three fiats, all the works of God together in the gift of the Spirit, we can praise God and thank him and glorify him forever and ever. Amen. But you see, it has to be done here on earth. You know, it has to be local, we could say. Jesus came to be localized. He came to be someone who is with us in time and place. Therefore, every act he did, one act at a time, was to bring this kingdom of the will of the Holy Trinity back to earth. That's what he's asking us to do. One act at a time. If you have to multitask, at least try to make all of your acts done at that time in the will of God. But it is one act, one breath, one heartbeat, one step, one glance, one touch at a time, one motion. That's the way the divine will comes again. And of course, as he says so many times, it must be continuous. But it's because the will of God is in Louisa that the refrain, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever, and world without end, is possible. Because the divine will prays in that eternal mode, in that eternal way. Not only that, but it unites us with what's going on in heaven. What is going on in heaven? The glory be to the Father for all eternity, Son and Holy Spirit. That's what heaven is. That's the beatific vision, receiving from God the will of God to glorify him with his own divine will for all eternity. Eternal things which never end, can be found only in my will, and one who possesses it is in communication with heaven. The soul takes part in everything they do in the heavenly region, and she is as though in act together with all of the blessed in heaven. Holy Trinity, the saints, the angels, all of heaven. This is what unites us, is the will of God carrying out in us what it does, and finally bringing everything into this return of love, glory, thanksgiving to the Holy Trinity. That's our part, dear friends. And the only way the glory be can really be prayed in its fullness and in its completeness is when it's prayed in the will of God, and the will of God prays in us. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever and ever, world without end. Amen. Let's take a short musical interlude. We'll return in just a moment.
Listening to Radio Maria, a Christian voice in your home. We now return to The Will of God with Father Robert Young.
And welcome once again, dear friends, and joy to be with you as we continue our study of Volume 19 of Luisa Picaretta's wonderful work, 36-volume diary called The Book of Heaven. As I was reflecting on my own, I'm thinking, you know, my goodness, if it's so easy perhaps for us to think of these spiritual things in the, not so easy, but not as difficult as living them, but to think of these things in the spiritual realm. They're so beautiful. They're so wonderful. But I just would like to quote something from Evangelii Gaudium, that is our Holy Father's encyclical on the joy of the gospel. He says, mystical notions without a solid social and missionary outreach are of no help to evangelization. nor are dissertations or social or pastoral practices which lack a spirituality which can change hearts. Oh, it's a wonderful, I think, thought. What he's saying is our understanding of these mystical ideas, this idea of union with God in such a beautiful way, are really not going to help the world. They're not going to help us or anybody else to spread the gospel if they're not grounded in life. They're not grounded in the social realities we live in our own personal lives, in our families, our church, etc. And it's got to have a missionary outreach. As Jesus says to Louisa so many times, if this is not made known, you are not spreading the word. You're burying it. So that's what our Holy Father is. But he's also saying that all of these things on social or pastoral practices and all the kinds of things, you know, the projects and missionary activities of the church, he said, if they don't have a spirituality which can change hearts, they're also not effective. So the two have to go together. So our lives have always got to be this, of course, this combination of ora et labora, of work and prayer, prayer and work, of contemplation and action. You see, mystical union, but a mystical union that makes a difference in the world. It's not just for ourselves. Of course, it's great for us too, but ultimately it must go beyond that. And that's why Jesus says so many times, you must make this known. And you say, well, how can I do it? First of all, learn about it. Receive the gift yourself. Interiorly, share it with others. That is, with the whole world and all of creation. We do that interiorly. We have the capacity to do that in the will of God. But also when we have the opportunity to share it with somebody who seems they may be open. St. Hannibal would say, you know, I don't go just talking indiscriminately about this, you know, because it was still very new in his time. He was just publishing her works. But even today, it's still quite new in the church. We're still waiting for the official publications, publishing of Louisa's volumes, her works. So there's a certain sense we have to be prudent. But he says, when I discover, when I meet someone or a group of people that I think, you know, they seem to have that Spirit of God that would be open to receive this gift, then I share a little bit about it. If they're interested, I share more. That's the way I go about it. Of course, except for this program, which is available to anybody who wants to listen to it, but I was invited to do it. I didn't ask to start the program. I was asked by Radio Maria to do it. So when we're invited, when we're asked, yes, don't be afraid, dear friends. This has the blessing of the church right now. The only thing we don't have is an official publication. It's simply because Louisa wrote so much. It's going to be a while yet before that happens. So, but in the meantime, we can use what we have and we can share it in whatever ways that we're able to in our own lives, in our local families and communities. So don't be afraid, but at the same time, of course, we always ask to be guided by the Holy Spirit in whatever we do in this regard. Next one is 4 days later, March 6, 1926. Only the most important thing was known about the Heavenly Mama, that is Mary, and that was that the Son of God was her son. The same will happen with the daughter of the divine will. The most important thing which will be known so as to make the divine will known. So only that which is most important about Louisa will be known. And that is, she was the little daughter of the divine will. This was her mission. A good which is not known has no ways to communicate itself. You see, the good, the truths, the gospel, the word of God, all of it must have those who will communicate it. So Louisa says, as I was in my usual state, my always lovable Jesus came, and holding my hand in his, he drew me to himself up high between heaven and earth. Often she's brought in this kind of, you know, space in between, suspended there, almost fearing I was clinging to Jesus, holding on tightly to his most holy hand and wanting to pour out my pain with him, which so much oppresses me. I said to him, my love, Jesus,
some time ago, you told me you wanted to make of me a copy of my heavenly mama. Yet almost nothing was known about her, or the many seas of graces with which in every instant she was inundated by you. She said nothing to anyone. She kept everything within herself. Nor does the gospel say anything about her, or very little. It is known only that she was your mama, and that she gave you eternal word to the world. But everything that passed between you and her, all the favors, the graces, she kept all within herself. But with me, then, you want the opposite. You want me to manifest what you say to me. You do not want to be a secret what passes between you and me. You know, she's saying Mary didn't have to go out and evangelize. Mary wasn't an apostle in that sense. She's queen of the apostles, but she didn't do what the other apostles did. She was their mother and queen. She gave life, in a sense, to them because she gave life to Jesus. She's saying, Louisa says, but that, you don't allow me to keep everything secret within me. She says, I feel sorrow because of this. So where then is the copy you want to make between me and my mama? Saying, you said you want me to be a copy of Mary, and yet you're asking me to do something she didn't have to do. So where's the copy here? My sweet Jesus, clasping me tightly to his heart, all tenderness, said to me, my daughter, courage. Do not be afraid. Nothing was known about my mama, but that which was necessary and sufficient to be known, that I was her son. God's not going to make known things that are not necessary. And that through her I came to redeem the generations. She was the first one in whose soul I had my first field of divine actions. Because in that soul of Mary reigned from the moment of her conception the will of God. That was the field in which Jesus could carry out not only his human, but his divine actions as well. Everything else, all of the favors, the seas of graces which she received, remained in the Holy of Holies of the divine secrets. Those were to be known only to God. Maybe we'll know them in heaven. Who knows? However, the most important, the greatest, the holiest thing was indeed known, that the Son of God was her son. That's what really what Mary needed to be known as. That was her role, and that was the way God wanted her to be known to the world. It's a crucial, essential, most important role. But you see, Mary, in her littleness and in her lowliness, her humility, would not want to be known in any other way, for any other reason. So all of that we know about Mary, all of the doctrines, the truths that the church has taught us about Mary, all are reflections on Jesus. They're all meant to help us to know Jesus. Her Immaculate Conception, you know, her Assumption, all of those truths of Mary, the virgin birth, is to know more about Jesus. But it's really, in one sense, not about Mary. It is and it isn't. But ultimately, it's about God. It's about Jesus, who is the Son of God. This was the greatest honor for her, which raised her above all creatures. Now, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could convince our dear Protestant brothers and sisters of this reality, who object so much sometimes to our veneration of Mary, saying that it's inordinate, it's, you know, it's extreme, it's beyond, we make her a goddess. It's not true. Not if you know the teaching of the church about Mary. And here Jesus is affirming it very clearly. But he said, this was the honor for Mary. See, which raised her above all creatures. She's the mother of God. Therefore, since the greatest was known about my mama, the lesser was not necessary. God is not superfluous. God doesn't do superfluous things. He does what's needed and what's necessary. But he doesn't spare himself in doing that. He will give everything needed for what is necessary. So he says, the same will happen with my daughter. It will be known only
that my will had its first field of divine action in your soul, as well as everything that is necessary in order to make known what regards my will. Let me say that again. It will be known only that my will had its field of divine action in your soul, as well as everything that's necessary in order to make known what regards my will. They will know enough about you, Louisa, as much as I want them to know, because it'll be revealed in her diary, which is inspired by him. And so he says, how it wants to enter the field so that the creature may return to her origin, how it anxiously awaits her to its arms, so there may be no more division between the creature and myself. That's what he wants to be known. That's what he wants Louisa to be known for, is this was her mission. This was her role. If this were not made known, how could creatures long for such a great good? You see, if it's not made known through her, the one in whom it's restored, the knowledge is given back to humanity. The divine science is given very explicitly. He says, how will the world know this? How could they dispose themselves to receive a grace so great? If my mama had not wanted to make known that I was the eternal Word and her son, what good would redemption have produced? Mary never wanted Jesus to be known for who he is. Then redemption couldn't have happened. Nobody would have known what redemption was, because Jesus had to be known for who. Ironically and paradoxically, often in the gospel, Jesus say, don't tell anybody, as he does to the leper. You know, he'll say, now go and don't spread that. But that was simply so that he could move about freely and carry out his mission. He didn't want it, which ultimately did happen, that there'd be so many crowds and so many following him that he couldn't do it anymore. You see, it would impede, would hinder the very proclamation of the kingdom and all the ways in which it was manifest through his ministry. That wouldn't be able to be carried out. But it, of course, he knew it would be known ultimately. Now, of course, he wants everybody to know about it. But at the time, there was a reason for keeping that a secret. But a good which is not known, as great as it may be, has no way or ways to communicate the good it possesses. A good needs a way to be communicated. We are human. We are flesh and blood. You know, we have eyes and ears and hearts, and we have to be able to perceive. We have to sometimes touch things, as we do in the sacraments. They have to touch us. You see, because that's the way we live. That's the way God created us. We're human. See, we're not angels. We're not pure spirits. One of my bishops in Florida would often remind the priests, you're not angels. You need to rest. You need to eat well. You need to take care of yourself. You see, we're human. We need material things. We need signs, and we need reminders. We need symbols. We need words. You see, it's got to be communicated that way, or human beings don't get it. Why did Jesus so often feed people before he preached to them? Because they couldn't listen if they were hungry. You see, he wanted them to be hungry for his word, but first he had to, you know, give them physical, material food to satisfy their bodily hunger, to fill their bellies before their souls could be filled. Well, that's kind of the way it is with us. We need the materialities, the material things in the world, in order to have access to the spiritual. That's just the way it is. I mean, none of us can experience God out of our bodies, in a sense. Yes, your soul and your spirit can transcend the body. But you have to have a body to have a soul, first of all. You can't have a soul that is not incarnate in a body. So the body's always necessary. Material things are always necessary as long as we're in this world. And that's why Bishop Secha is saying, you know, you've got to incarnate this, dear friends. It's got to be real in your life. And I'm not saying you have to go out and preach it from the rooftops or, you know, be a missionary in that sense. But we have to live it. We have to live it interiorly. We also have to let it show forth in the charity and the mercy we show, the way we speak to others and about others.
you know, in our the most simple tasks of our lives, when we're in public, how do we relate to others? How do we show that we are children of the divine will to the world? It says, a good which is not known, as great as it may be, has no ways to communicate that good by itself. Just as my mama was not opposed, so must my daughter not oppose what regards my will. All the rest of the secrets, the flights you do in my will, the goods you take, the most intimate things between you and me, will remain in that holy of holies of the divine secrets. So don't be afraid, don't fear. Your Jesus will content you in everything. The fear, of course, that Louisa has is that somehow something of herself is going to get in this, and it's not going to be God. It's going to be of her instead. And that's a fear she will have probably until she dies. And it's a good, it's a holy fear. But he's saying, don't live in that fear. Don't give in to that fear. Yes, be prudent. You know, we have prudence is a virtue, and we have to be prudent. But he's saying, don't be afraid to do what I'm asking you to do. You don't have to do more than I'm asking, but do what I'm asking. This was what he asked of her, to write, to record, to share it on paper and with those he put in her life to make known to them. For us, it's to learn it, to love it, to live it, to possess it, and to make it known any way we can. On that note, dear friends, I would like to invite all of you. I don't often ask for, you know, your own favors or prayers for my intentions, but we have just elected a new administration in my Franciscan community, and so far I'm able to continue the ministry I'm doing on Radio Maria. But I would also like to do more. I would like to return to being able to visit groups and to give retreats and talks as I did at one time. So I'm going to ask you to pray for that. Pray, of course, that this program can continue as it does to minister, to help people, whoever can receive it, but also that I could be more available for this great mission of the kingdom of God's will. And let's ask that in a very special way as a sign of God's mercy to the world, because it's not about any of us. It's about God's mercy and his divine will coming to be known on earth. So I invite you to say whatever prayers you can, pray them in the divine will, multiply them to the infinite, and ask that not only myself, but all those who are able and who are called could have the opportunity, the freedom, the gift of making this proclamation of God's mercy and his kingdom known to the world. And I pray that for you as well in whatever ways God wishes you to do so. So may Almighty God bless you, protect you, keep you always in that heaven of his will. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you all.
Thank you for tuning in for The Will of God with Father Robert Young. Be sure to tune in again next week for another episode.